G'day, how the bloody hell are ya? That's a bit of a hectic intro song, eh? Sometimes you just got to do it, mate. Hyperdrive is the name of that track. Welcome to episode number 177 of the Bloody Average Man podcast, mate. We are back in the van on the beachfront. Got the door closed today and all windows on the roadside of said van shut because the wind's bloody howling in at the moment. It's nice and cool in the van, so I don't need the extra airflow. And, you know, there's been a bit of distractions definitely last week, motorbikes and shit fanging past, and the dog was getting a bit ruffled up by noises outside and barking in the background and shit. So doors closed, a little bit more soundproof this time round, mate. Speaking of dogs, no one's got a bloody normal dog around here anymore because they all walk past the beachfront road here. I'm out there walking the dog in the morning and I do some exercise outside the van and stuff as well. So I'm seeing what's going on out there. I'm seeing all the canines, all the different breeds kicking along out there, mate. And there's no one's got a bloody normal dog anymore. Not like when I was a kid, especially up here in Quinn's Rocks, which used to be Bougainville. They're all bloody purebreds. Most of them are from like other countries. It's, you know, they're, you know, some sort of terrier or some sort of, you know, something poodle crossed with this or that, or, you know, it's like it's a competition who can have the most extravagant breed of dog, mate. Like, where did you guys even learn about these bloody breeds? We're Australian. Like, I guess there's a bunch of Poms out there, but still, like, they're not exotic. They're Poms. And they're like, where are all these dogs coming from, mate? Not many rescue dogs getting around anymore. Not like our one, you know, a little rescue dog. People ask us what kind of breed she is. You know, we tell them that she's a husky cross corgi. She's not. She's a camp dog. She's a bloody camp dog, mate. But it's got to be like, oh, what kind of dog is that? Where'd you get it from? Oh, wow. Look at the coat on it. Does it shed hair? It's like, far out, man. It's a dog. Why? What happened to the normal dogs, mate? Don't know. They're not out there anymore. Don't see them often. You know, there's a bunch of Australian sheepdogs and stuff. I've actually seen a big increase in those as well. Like coolies, border collies, and a lot of border collies, eh? And Australian sheepdogs. So a lot of them out there. And I do wonder if they're getting, you know, an appropriate amount of exercise and stimulation, because those things are bloody freaks. They just like energizer batteries, mate. They just keep going and going and going and going. And they need, you know, they need like a job to do, essentially. They need a lot of exercise. They need to be trained. They need to have a lot of interaction and stimulation. So I don't know if that's happening with all the different people you see out there. People in my experience tend to be quite lazy. So I don't know. Maybe I've got it wrong, and the people that have the Australian sheepdogs and the coolies and stuff are all just gun people out there, you know, kicking ass every day. Maybe. I don't know. Could be wrong. Just having a sip of what I've described as the smoothest tequila that I've ever bloody drunk. It's a Don Julio Añejo. Don Julio Añejo. Yeah, you can just say it with the Mexican accent. Sounds less wanky. Don Julio Añejo. Which is, you know, like a $160 bottle of tequila usually, but you get it at Dan Murphy's if you're a member, you know, like we are special VIP members, you know. I mean, anyone can be a member, but, you know, still, we're special. They make me feel I'm special by giving me money off my purchases there. So yeah, for memberships at Dan Murphy's, you get it for like $108. So, you know, not too bad for a top quality bloody tequila, and smooth as a baby's bum, mate. It is not as, the flavor's not as big as some of the other tequilas that I like, a Casamigos or a Corazon or a Herradura, or, you know, one of the likes of those that have a really sort of rich, sweet, kind of caramelly, vanilla-y finish to them, but they also have more of a kick bit more of a sting. This is super smooth at the beginning on the front end and just doesn't have as much flavor finishing off at the back end, but very nice, very smooth. Yeah, very easy to drink. You got to be careful with it because it does definitely goes down the old hatch pretty bloody quick, pretty smooth. So, yeah, it's nice. It's the first bottle I've bought for a while since I had that horrid hangover on the way down from Perth, on the way down from Port Hedland to Perth in Exmouth, and I drank too much whiskey and tequila watching the fights one night on the laptop, and was just proper stinking hungover the next day, like just steaming. And I hadn't drunk any tequila since then. So I bought this on the weekend because we were at the Crown Towers, mate. Stayed at the Crown Towers on Thursday, Friday night, and what an experience. We've always wanted to stay there, but we never have because it's bloody expensive, especially when we're in Perth, which is typically, you know, December, January, school holiday, Christmas holiday period. It's just bloody expensive. So we've always sat that one out and stayed other places. But because we're here for a bit longer, we looked at the prices in February and, you know, kids are back at school. And lo and behold, the prices were much more reasonable. We had some Qantas points there we used as well. So we got our rooms for a pretty good price, considering where it is. We did upgrade when we got there to a room with a view, which was $300 for both nights. So, like, you know, all up. Or $310. No, it wasn't that much. Sorry, it wasn't that much. It was $80 a night. It was $160 a night. I paid $150 as well for valet. So $310 just before we got up to our room, we paid for valet service, which I ended up using, like, it was very handy. I was down at the car a bunch of times getting stuff out of it. And, you know, I had the rig undercover in a secure car park, not sitting out in that rando car park, you know, 5 minute walk from the hotel, which would have been uncomfortable with. And then we upgraded to a room with a view. So they charged me $310 before I even got in the elevator to go to my room. But we got up to that room and walked in, and my goodness, the view was spectacular. It really was. It was beautiful. Just a panoramic view of the city, looking down on the beautiful pool, you know, 20th floor, so nice and high up. Really, really glad we did that upgrade. That was a worthwhile, that was money well spent. Bloody, bloody beautiful. We get there on the Thursday evening, me and the wife, and they had the kids staying at the grandparents' house for the evening. And, you know, had an adult night, which was nice. We went out for dinner. The Nobu, they don't miss you there either. $400 later for the two of us. Dinner at Nobu, and then we went to the Cass after that and had a bit of a bet, which neither of us typically do. We're not gamblers. We don't go to casinos and shit. I went to Las Vegas for my 30th and spent about, I don't know, an hour and a half, 2 hours maximum in the casino there in one stint and never went back. So we're just not gamblers. But we did go and have a bit of a gamble on the Thursday night. Lost a heap of money, not a heap, but lost money quickly on the roulette tables, and we were kind of over it. Thought, oh, well, let's go sit at the money wheel and just, you know, spend our last $50 each or whatever on the money wheel. And that dragged out for a few hours. We ended up having a bit of luck there, got up, you know, a few hundred dollars, got up $400 or whatever, and then actually left with some money in the pocket, and then up at the room, had a drink, didn't really have anything for a nightcap. Like, I didn't plan correctly, and all we had was wine at the room, and that sort of wasn't cutting the mustard. And we were like, you know what, let's go down and get back on that money wheel and see if we can turn our 400 into something else. Yeah, we didn't. We lost half of it, and then went back in the morning for one last gamble and lost another 100 and thought, bugger this. This is why we don't gamble. This sucks. So we were up for a bit, and then we were down at the end there, which is a story, as you know, known by many, story as old as time. And it was that feeling. It's designed so well. Once you have a bit of a win and you get on a streak, you really keep convincing yourself that, oh, I'll just outlay a little bit more money because I'm onto something here. I just need a bit more money behind me to get it going again. And then, you know, you lose that quickly and you think, oh, no, it's just the luck's going to change. I'll just outlay a little bit more and I can turn this around. We can get, you know, I know what I need to do. I just need to put a bit more money down. And that cycle is just fucking gross, man. On a very minuscule level, I felt that on the Thursday night / Friday morning, I did not like the feeling, and because I'm not a gambler, as I said, it gave me that little taste, you know, a little sneak into that world where people are just mad gamblers, and you know, people are blowing big dollars in these casinos. You know, they win a bit, get the taste for it, get the thrill of it, think that I can do this, yeah, I'm onto something here, and then you start losing, and because you were winning and you feel like you're just one good hand away, one good spin away, one good roll away from your luck change, and you just keep going, then you go past your threshold point that you'd set for yourself because, well, no, it's going to turn around for me soon, and, you know, I can see how easily you'd get yourself into a hole, and the feeling's gross. It's like we had fun when we were winning. It was fun for a couple of hours there. Yeah, spinning and, you know, we're just hitting the right numbers. And as soon as I got, like, you know, $100 on the ticket, I'd go cash it out and then just use the smaller change, and was playing really responsibly, and we were winning, and it was all fun and games. And as soon as we stopped winning, as soon as it started going backwards, it's like you kind of get serious about it. And then we were planning and we were trying to be more strategic. And then it was like, no, just put a little bit more down. We'll make that back. And it's like, oh, it's a gross feeling. It's a gross feeling. It's a gross atmosphere, and it was like, I'm not even enjoying this now. I'm here, like, stressing about the money that I'm losing, feeling like I can make it back if I just put a bit more down. And that's not for me. Hey, we got out of there, and I won't be back to a casino for a long, long time. It's not a world that I really want to spend my time in. But, you know, it was a one-off thing for us. Went there and laid it, you know. And in the scheme of things, we didn't lose much money. It was just the taste of that feeling of getting stuck in a loop. And I can see how that happens to people and how they go and blow the whole fucking paycheck there. And then they're thinking about it all week, and they get back there, and as soon as they get paid the next week, and they're going to make it up this week, and it's going to fucking come good for them, and it happens again. And what a gross life to live like that, man. Super glad that's not me. But, you know, the whole experience was bloody expensive. As I said, we got the rooms for a good price, but I did not anticipate how much money we would spend just being there. And we had the conversation on the first night. Look, you know, let's not stress about money. We're here. We've been waiting to come here for a long time. We're going to enjoy ourselves and just you know, go with the flow. Roll with the punches, if you will. They were big punches. They were big punches. They were hard to roll with. We did do it, but it kind of, far out, it stressed me out a little bit, you know. I had a bit of a hangover after that first night. After we went back down and drank some more piss, and, you know, not a huge hangover, just didn't get a whole lot of good quality sleep. So it was kind of like at the point where I needed to drop a couple of Panadol on the Friday morning, which I don't normally do. I was sort of chewing Panadol far too frequently at one point in time there, and really just, you know, got myself to a position where, well, you're drinking too much alcohol if you've got a hangover, and if you're not drinking and you've got a headache, you're not drinking enough water. So the first thing I do now is if I get a bit of a headache or a hint of a headache, I just start sculling water, and it really does take care of 95% of headaches that you get. But yeah, needed to drop a couple of Panadol on the Friday morning, and it kind of got me thinking, mate, what's the deal with Panadols? Like, why do I have to take two? Why, like, no one takes one Panadol, right? You don't go, oh, can I have a Panadol? No, you have two Panadols. You have two ibuprofen, you know. Why can't they just be twice the size? What's the deal? No one makes one large Panadol where you just need one Panadol. It's always two. Why am I having two of something every single time? If two is the minimum dose that an adult would have for that thing, then I feel like it should be twice the size and you just have one. It just seems more practical to me. Stop playing games with us. If I need two of the thing, make the thing twice the size. Come on. But, yeah, I don't know what the deal is there. I had two Panadol and felt a lot better after that. And then learnt from the night's, the mistakes from the evening before. Oh, gosh. I didn't think we'd be spending that much time in the room, so I thought, no, I won't spend money on alcohol to keep in the room, just the basics, bit of wine, a little bit of beer. But I was like, no, fuck it, we are going to spend time in the room. I needed it last night. So I went out to the nearest Dan Murphy's, and that's when I came across the Don Julio Añejo. Got that and some Frangelico for the missus to stock up in the room. And really nice, man, really bloody nice and smooth. So we did that dinner and then gambled the first night. Then the kids rocked up about lunchtime the second day. That was cool. We met them, showed them the room. They frothed on it, the view and just the excitement of the whole thing. And that was really cool, getting them up there and showing them the room and sharing that with them. And then we went down to the pool for a bit, nice hot day, spent a few hours in the pool, and then got our gear on and went out for dinner again. Also bloody expensive. We went to the Atrium, which is the all-you-can-eat joint, like all-you-can-eat for four of us with a bottle of wine and some a jug of soft drink for the kids. Cost us bloody $350, man. It's like far out. Kids do not eat that much food. You know, $350 is a it's a big outlay for a meal it's not a five-star restaurant or anything. It's a buffet. It was funny because we had, you know, it was so expensive. Me and the missus were like, well, damn it, we're going to get our bloody money's worth out of this. So, like, ate a full-blown meal of, like, I went to the meat, had all the meat and different. They had pork, lamb. They had, different kinds of beef there and some crackling, and when I got all the meat, loaded up my plate on meat, ate all that, and then I went to the Asian section after that, had a full another meal from the Asian section, and then went back and had some different stuff from the Asian section, some dumplings and stuff, and then it was like we were determined to just stuff as much food in as we could because of how expensive it was. It was almost like we were trying to try and make up for the cost of it by just eating ourselves into an oblivion. And that was a bad move. I was so full, ate sweets as well, which I bloody never do, ate sweets, had so much food, like three meals, just out of spite, just eating out of spite to try and get as much food, you know, money for value, as value for money as we could, and ended up paying the price for it that evening, just feeling like absolute shit, and then going to sleep early because we were both over full and tired, and then still waking up full the next morning, and, I went and bought the bottle of tequila, so we could enjoy that in our room after dinner on that second night, and we were just both so full and tired that we went to bed straight after we put the kids down and never drank the tequila in the room. This was funny. Really enjoyed it, and, you know, it was a good couple of nights. Came home on the Saturday, was planning to go to a belly dancing concert that my sister was putting on at her place. She does belly dancing and she teaches some belly dancing classes, and they had something they were calling a huffler, like a concert, on at her house last night. They had a bit of a stage set up there, and it would have been really nice to go, but we just needed a down night. You know, like I came home and fell asleep on the couch for a couple of hours once we got home from the hotel. So we didn't do that, unfortunately, and we've then, you know, but we've got dinner again tonight. We're straight back out again tonight for a family member's dinner, for one of my nephew's dinners. So it's like, man, yeah, straight back out into it again tonight. And then our first official school day is on Monday. So it's like, you know, got shit on this afternoon, got to be ready for the school day tomorrow morning. It's our first day doing this homeschooling gigs. It's a bit of a big day for us. You know, it's a big moment. And then, you know, we're going to Rottnest on Tuesday, which is a school day. We're going to do some history and things like that there and make that one count. So that's Rottnest Tuesday. And then my wife goes into hospital on Wednesday. And it's just like, man, it's kind of relentless at the moment. There's one thing after another and another and another. So much for, you know, being unemployed and traveling and slowing things down, taking a bit of time. It's because it's been kind of bloody hectic lately. I can't believe how busy I am. But, it's all good, mate. We do have a plan to slow things down in the second half of this week once the Rottnest is done, and dinner tonight's done, and the operation's done, and we've got our homeschool started. We're just going to slow things down because we still have quite a lot of work to do getting this van sorted and, you know, a place for everything and everything in its place top of deal before we kind of get out of here. We definitely still have too much stuff. So, yeah, got to slow that all down, man, and just kind of, yeah, it's like we've got two of everything. I feel like we've got two of everything. It's like we're bloody, like a family of twins. Twins bloody freak me out, eh? I'm going to upset some people here. But twins freak me out, man. It's like, you know, like sometimes they dress the same as each other and they hang out together and they obviously look the same. And it's kind of like they're each of them is like half of a real person, personality-wise. Like one has half the personality, the other has the other half the personality because they're like always together. They kind of supplement each other to make one whole person. That's like, and obviously not all twins. I've met some twins with big personalities, but there's definitely a bunch of them where it's like they're kind of supplementing. I don't know. They're sort of, if they're a whole person when they're on their own, man. I went to school with these two twins and like, you know, it was school, so kids are cruel and stuff, and they were always together. They called them the humble twins. They both surfed. They wore gaffer helmets. Mum made them wear gaffer helmets, which is like it's a helmet you wear when you're surfing, bodyboarding. They were bodyboarders. In case you donk your head on the reef, which is smart. It's a good idea, but when you're 15 years old and you're surfing with a helmet on, it's rough. You know, kids will call you out for that shit. So they were the gaffer twins. They were called the gaffer twins because they wore gaffer helmets. And like they were kind of like, yeah, always together. I remember one of the dudes like was getting bullied on the school bus by some prick, and like his brother started crying as if it was happening to him. It was odd to me. I was just like, whoa. It was like he's like physically sharing the experience of his twin being bullied. It wasn't like just nervous or upset or leave my brother. It was just like, it was as if it happened to him. He felt it. Like he felt it because he was like connected to his twin somehow. So I've always found that weird, man. Eh? It was always weird to me. Two humans that look exactly the same and the exact same age and grow up together, sharing everything and stuff like that. What a wild concept. When you're not a twin and you don't have any twins in your like group of friends or in your family or anything, that's a wild concept, hey. We're all individual, we're all unique, except you two. You two are exactly the same. you know what I mean? I'm sure I've pissed off some fucking twins right now. I'm just kidding. I'm just joking, twins. I love you. I love you guys. Whichever one I'm talking to. Nah, I love you guys. I'm just joking, mate. Just fucking with you. It's just an idea. You know what I mean? Just riffing here. Not trying to fuck with anybody's vibe, mate. Anyone's mental. That's not what I'm here for. I'm just playing around. I'm just joking around. I'm not trying to piss anyone off. With talking about mental health, right? People's vibe, you know, that sort of movement. It's a movement at the moment, which is good. Super cool that, you know, we talk about mental health and you know, positive health movement. Not just mental health, but positive health movement that's sort of online right now. It's really good, man. But, you know, I love it. I listen to a lot of it. I read a lot of it. Listen to podcasts on it. I follow guys like, you know, and listen to guys like Dr. Peter Attia and Andrew Huberman. And there's a bunch of guys who do like life hack stuff and tell you all these little, you know, tweaks for longevity. Sometimes they're just little things you can do that you can add to your morning. Like, you know, walking with your feet, getting like grounding, getting your feet touching the earth early in the morning, getting early morning sunlight on your skin and in your eyes without sunnies on, and how much water to drink, and, you know, just all these different things you can do to slightly improve your life day by day, you know, all the little, just the little one percenters, you know, that sort of add up together. You know, and there's other things that have a larger effect that you can do as well. Ice baths, saunas, you know, eating meat, cutting out seed oils, red light therapy, you know, like different kind of mushrooms, lion's mane mushroom for cognitive function, things like that. All these things you can do. And I'm glad people are hearing about it, you know, and implementing them in their daily life. I think that is great, super positive, super cool to see that. But there is like a douchey side to the positive health movement especially on social media, hey? Like, it's kind of like the social media influencers. They didn't take long to hijack those things and start posting videos about all the life longevity shit they're doing and somehow making it seem cliche and douchey. You know what I mean? It's like, damn, all that cool stuff that we didn't hear about 5 years ago has now become like, oh, of course you're doing that. Oh, of course that's what you're, you know, basing your entire social media feed and presence on. You know, like, it just didn't take them long to hijack it, man. And it's still a positive trend, but it does make it a little embarrassing that so many of the people are talking about this shit now. And, you know, and it's stuff that people, I always want people to hear about, but the reality is it definitely has a douchey side to it, you know, and that's a shame. It's like even with podcasting. When I started listening and, you know, when I started podcasting in 2018, no one even knew what I was talking about back then, not in Australia, not out in the, you know, in Port Hedland. Back in 2018, no one knew what you were talking about when you said podcasting. Now it's like, it's like slightly embarrassing when someone finds out that I have a podcast because they automatically put me on the same category as people who have just jumped on the bandwagon in the last couple of years. You know, like everyone and every man and his frigging dog's got a podcast now. Yeah, but not like 2015 when I started listening to podcasts and wanted, and really wanted to do one. And, you know, it took me a few years to launch it, but, you know, and obviously haven't skyrocketed to prominence like some of these guys have, but I was in this space before it was a thing. In Australia, I really was. It was, you know, something that it just clicked with me immediately. I heard podcasting and I was like, man, this is the thing I can do for my creative outlet, you know, since my music's not really happening, you know, since having kids and the time that it takes and not having any connections up in Hedland to you know, explore that musical path with, and, you know, having a lack of skill in musical endeavors is a bit of an obstacle to overcome there as well. So I was like, this is something I can do that is a creative outlet for me, and I can speak and just talk my mind, and I can get things off my chest, and I can explore ideas in long form, and like it just really, really clicked for me, mate. As I said, I haven't skyrocketed into prominence or anything, so I've been toiling away in the background for years while other people have really just come along and kind of blown up, and they're big people, and, you know, a lot of people who know who they are, but it is like kind of slightly embarrassing now when you say, oh, you got a podcast. I just imagine them thinking, oh, of course you got a podcast. You know, you've just jumped on the bandwagon and you get yourself a podcast like every other man and his dog does. But no, man, I really, really have been doing this for a little while now. And before it was really something that you would hear about in everyday conversation, podcasting, I'd say to people, yeah, I listen to podcasts. And they're like, what's a podcast? What's that? Yeah, everyone knows what a fucking podcast is. Everyone's listened to a handful of them. But, you know, and again, that social influencer thing, like just there's all these people we've fucking never heard of before. We don't even know who they are, but they look the part. They look the right. They just look the right way. They're good looking. They got perfect skin. They're fit. They got nice teeth. And they're just on there. They look like they've got money. They just look like they have money, you know. And they're on there just telling you how to fucking live your life and telling you all the things they do in their life. And I wake up and I ice bath in the morning. Then I sun my asshole in the morning sunlight for 15 minutes. You know, then I fast until 11. And then I do my workout and drink 4 litres of water. Then I fast until 11 a.m. And then it's just like, and then I microdose from 11 a.m. and work from home for 4 hours. And it's like, fuck, man. Like, you just got it all figured out, don't you, mate? Like, fuck me. You just have it all figured out. I don't know who the fuck you are. I don't know where you came from. I don't know what you actually do or if you really are successful, what you look like you are. You're telling me you know everything and you've got it all sorted out and giving me advice on life and relationships and business and every fucking thing else under the sun. But I really don't know anything else about you, man. So that's the douchey side of it. And I'm, you know, and even though I listen to some of those guys, because even if the delivery is coming in like a douche packet, it's like there's still information in there that I need to extract and try and implement in my own life. So I'm still soaking it all up, you know. And I'm definitely trying to, like, I want to perpetuate the message of, you know, good health practice and doing all the little things you can to improve your life. It's like there's different levels to it, right? Some people you just want to tell them, hey, man, don't eat fucking processed food. Don't eat packet food. Don't eat shit with that's just caked in seed oil. Don't eat bread and pasta every day. You know, like, don't eat shitty food. Don't eat, not eat whole unprocessed foods, drink a lot of water, minimize your alcohol and sugar and stuff like that. Like, some people, that's the message they need to get, because they're so far down the other track where it's just like, dude, you just get rid of the fucking margarine, try and reduce your medications, get out for a walk in the morning, don't eat fucking fast food, don't eat shit that's packaged, just eat fresh whole foods. And for them, that's life-changing. And then you get people who are already trying to do that, and then they're training and they're trying to figure out their training regime, and it's like, oh, you see what the things that they're doing and maybe the way their training ties in with their nutrition, or how long they're training for, or how often they're training, or the type of training they're doing, and you're just like, oh, you know, I actually have a bit of advice or information I could give that person that will help them, you know, that they can implement. And they may be looking for that information. They may be trying to figure it out for themselves. I've been on this journey for over 10 years now myself, so I've figured a few things out via trial and error. So there's the next level down into the, you know, getting into the thick of it a little bit as far as health and longevity and fitness and all that sort of stuff. And then there's like getting down into the weeds with the people who are like kind of on the same level as I am, and we're just all exchanging kind of more nuanced and lower percentage ideas. It's like, you know, try this style of training, you know, try doing this little tweak here, this little tweak there. You start talking about ice bars, and then you start talking about, you know, some of those other things we're just speaking about. And it's like, I want to, anything that I've learned, right, just from listening to other people, like, I'm not special, I don't have any extra information, I'm not fucking smarter than anybody else, I've just been on the pathway for a while as a, you know, again, all these words that have been hijacked and become douchey and all that sort of thing, but, you know, as a searcher, as a seeker, like, trying to better my life, trying to find out things that are positive and, you know, looking for truths in life and stuff, and some of those truths are around our physical well-being. So I've been on the journey for a while, and you just learn things from listening, trying to implement them, going, that's bullshit, or that didn't work for me, or, you know what, actually this works really well. So you get on that journey, and then you're like, well, I see other people trying to better themselves, trying to help themselves out, they want to do better. So I would like, if there's something I know that works for me that I've, you know, found or discovered or been told about or figured out or whatever that works, I would like those people to have that information too. So I really would like to keep pushing that message on my social media about healthy mindset, healthy body, healthy eating, all that kind of stuff. But, like, really conscious about not being a fucking douchebag about it, because you scare people off. When you're a douchebag, there's those – the people that aren't down into the thick of it, into the weeds, into the particulars and the nuances, the people that are kind of at the entry level are just like, I just want to do better. How do I do better? How do I not feel like shit? How do I lose a bit of weight? How do I build a bit of muscle? Whatever it is. Like, those people don't want to hear all the douchebag shit. You scare them off. They'll go, oh, fuck this. This guy's a douche. This is a douchey community. I'm out, you know. And then you lose them. So I'm really trying to, when I'm putting videos up, when I'm posting stuff, when I'm talking about stuff, it really is like the namesake of the podcast, man. This is the average man. I'm a normal fucking tradesman dude like the rest of you, man. I'm just, maybe I'm a little further down the journey than others, not as far down as some others, you know. But I'm just listening. I'm open. I've got my eyes and my ears open. I'm listening. And if there's anything I can fucking hear and find out that works, I just want to pass it on to other, you know, like-minded guys and girls who are just normal Aussie, or not even Aussie, just normal fucking down-to-earth people trying to figure it out. But yeah, you just very, very, very aware of the douchebaggery that's out there as well. These people just telling you, man, they've got it all figured out. It's kind of, yeah, it pisses me off a bit. being preached at by these perfect looking fucking people. Okay, man. Well, I'm not perfect. I don't have it all fucking figured out. I fuck things up all the time. Hey, I'm actually in a bit of a slump right now, if you want to talk about that. It's funny because, you know, we left Port Hedland. I was waiting for this for so long. We haven't started the journey yet, which if you've been following along the podcast and stuff, you know, is kind of eating me up inside a little bit. But I had a few things to look forward to, and we hadn't started school yet, so even though I'd like said the holiday's over, it kind of still felt a little bit holiday-ish because I had all the day to myself every day. Not to myself, I've got the family, but to do things, you know, projects and go out places and hang out with the kids. It was still like less structured. We're in this sort of, you know, not quite a holiday, but not quite like a work mode-like period. And then I had this, I was looking forward to the Crown Towers, a few things I've been looking forward to. And now like that's happened and the school's starting tomorrow and we still haven't left Perth. Like I've gone into a bit of a slump, man, a bit of a mental slump. I'm a bit down on myself, you know. I kind of feel the last couple of days especially, I think since the high of the hotel thing and how much money we spent getting out of there, I kind of felt like a bit of a loser the last couple of days, man, you know. Because there's certain metrics that you can look at and go, well, you know, I feel like I'm failing on a bunch of different fronts. And I guess a lot of this probably comes down to the fact that I've never not had a job before. So when you go out and you spend too much money at like the hotel like we just did, more than was planned for, normally you do that and you're like, oh, fucking hell, that was expensive. Took a hit there. Righto, time to knuckle down, save some more money, have a few quiet weeks, try and put a bit extra away next fortnight and get back on track. The problem is there is no extra money coming in. So when I chew through extra money outside of what the plan was, which has happened a bunch of times over the last 6 weeks, it's like that's just money that's gone. I'm doing a few days work here and there, you know, making a few hundred dollars a week or whatever. I can't work for the next few weeks because we've got school, my wife's got an operation, we've got this, got that, blah, blah, blah. So there's no money coming in at all. So it's like, oh, we just spent that money. It's gone. Bye-bye. See you later. You know, and I'm not used to that yet. I've never had this before. So there's an adjustment period as far as that's concerned for me. And just, you know, I think it's just going to take a while to get used to this. I definitely feel a bit of a slump mentally at the moment, you know. And that's about me being real. That's about me telling you, hey, I don't have it all figured out, man. I don't have it all figured out. But one thing I will fucking do is get up every fucking morning and keep trying to push and move forward and fix things. My diet's been not great lately. You know, it's always definitely better than the average person. But for the standard I've set for myself and for the diet that I know makes me feel good and operate well and keeps me healthy, it's not there. It hasn't been there for a little while. Drinking too much. I've still been drinking during the week. I cut down a few days here and there, but I've still been drinking during the week. And it's not good for me, mate. I know that it sets me back. I know it makes my mornings harder. I know it makes me less present with my kids if I start drinking and they're around. I know that it sets me in a negative mind frame when I say I'm not going to do something and then I do it. It's like a little loss. So it's not good. It's a fail, right? Yeah, like I said, the money thing, I'm not on top of it yet. I'm spending more than we want to spend, you know. So I'm trading off time, money now for time later because I want to keep this trip going. We want to get all the way around Oz. We want to take 18 months doing it. The more money I spend now, the longer I have to work in the middle of the fucking year to keep this thing afloat. So I'm trading off time further down the track, which is, you know, something that I don't want to do with my life anymore. I've done that too many times. Oh, it's all right. We'll do such and such later. It's all right. We'll make it up, blah, 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 down the track. That time in the future that you're trading off for is real. Like, it exists. It's real time. You have to pay that bill eventually. Do you know what I mean? So I don't want to do that. So I feel like a bit of a failure there. You know, I just, it's a bunch of little things, like it's not like everything's, you know, it's not like a car wreck, it's not like there's just fucking the wheels have fallen off. They're little things, but it's a few little things stacked on top of each other, and this is what, in my experience, getting ahead or getting behind is about, right? Like it's the same with work. This is the concept that I use at work to get shit done and to be consistently a good operator and, you know, like a high achiever in a work sense is little wins stacked on top of each other eventually, you know, cultivate in success, right? And small failures stacked on top of each other obviously eventually cultivate in failure. And I just feel that I'm in a trend at the moment of stacking a few small failures on top of each other, you know, one after the other, and I'm aware of it, so I guess that's the first step. And then making changes to turn it around and fix it will be the next step. And when I was talking about before, like even being in the casino and that feeling, I was sitting there going, oh, I don't like this feeling. I'm aware that this is something that's not normal for me, and I'm aware this is something that I've heard people talk about and discuss, and the feeling they have when they're gambling and they're stuck in it and things like that is a little bit of a taste of that for me, but it's like, this isn't good. I need to change this. Waking up hungover, this isn't good. I need to change this. Not having great workouts because I've been not sleeping well enough and not eating my best diet and been drinking a little bit, this isn't good. I need to change this. So it's like I'm in that stage right now where I definitely feel that way. And it does make me feel like a bit of a loser, but I think, you know, the important thing is to notice that, like to realize that, and then start, you know, taking the steps to fixing it, really, essentially, which is what I'm going to have to do moving forward from here to get myself out of this little bit of a funk. And that's me just trying to be honest with you guys that are listening, because again, I never ever want people to think that I'm preaching at anyone. I've got it all figured out, mate. I'm just like you fucking guys and girls. I'm the average man. I'm the average fucking man. We all fucking struggle. We all fuck up. The difference is some people get into that funk, they get into that rhythm, and they stop doing the right things because they don't feel like doing it, because they're depressed, because they're feeling down, because they've put a few – it's like you get self-destructive almost. It's like I've had a couple of nights where – I had another drink when I shouldn't have a drink, when I don't even need a drink anymore, or I eat some fucking shit, a bowl of ice cream at the end of the night, and it's just like, now I just feel like even fucking worse. Why did I do that? It's like self-destructive. It's like I've come this far, I've made this many mistakes over the last fucking couple of days, I'm just going to put another mistake on top of it and double down on it. And it's about realizing the pattern that you're in and going, hang on, fucking hell, hit the brakes, take a step back. This isn't fucking working. Let's turn the ship around, start doing some things correctly and get out of this funk. And I think that's something that probably people probably struggle with. So I'm in the throes of it right now, trying to fix a few of those little fuck-ups in my life and turn things around and get back on track. So 100% not your perfect life, look at me, fucking everything I do is fucking great, influencer telling you how to do things, just the average fucking man who's trying to share a little bit of what I've learned along the way with other people, and with my eyes and ears open to try and hear and pick up what other people are doing that's working for them as well. Yeah, before I do move, well, I want to move on from that, and I wanted to move into something specific that I had sort of noted down here, a bit of a left turn. This is around an article I read a couple of days ago around the digital ID, that's sort of the proposal for which is on the horizon in Australia. Concept is there'll be a digital ID they want to introduce. Every person in Australia will be expected to get on board with it and you know, submit to or produce or whatever you want to call it, adhere to a digital ID, which will be like skin samples, fingerprint samples, hair samples, all of your physical, some physical DNA identification, and then all of your, you know, standard ID details, you know, bank account and address and job and name and date of birth and all that kind of shit. Everything they can garner about you, and then you'll have a digital online ID. They'll be able to identify you via whatever metric they decide to use, fingerprint or whatever. And, you know, you'd be able to go onto any website, government website, hook into your bank, hook into your MyGov ID, whatever it is, with just, you know, swiping your fingernail or thumbprint or whatever, again, whatever metric they're going to use to to identify you. And it will be very convenient because everything will be tied in together, and it'll make it inconvenient and difficult if you don't have a digital ID. But there's just a few things, because this is coming. This isn't hypothetical. This isn't, you know, pie in the sky shit. This is stuff that's on the horizon. The wheels are in motion, and this is something that is coming. And reading the article, and I've read a few articles about this, and heard a few different people speak on it. So from your average man, again, this is just my fucking take on things. I just wrote down a few things to consider when you see this pop up on a bit more of a regular basis, because they're going to present it like, it's nothing crazy. It's just a new technology that's going to make life far more convenient for us, and you know, and they're going to lay it out for you in a very flattering way. But there will be a few things to consider, and probably some more that I don't have listed here, but let's just go through what I've got written down anyway. Consider this, because this is an agenda cooked up by Klaus Schwab and his mates, like Bill Gates, in Davos at the WEF, the World Economic Forum. This is an idea that's come from those guys, the billionaires who are deciding, you know, the best course of action for, you know, a global government system, essentially, where they are obviously in control. It's most certainly a precursor to a centralized digital currency, which will only work if we have the digital ID. That central digitalized currency will be a government-controlled digital currency, like a crypto coin, that would be the new Australian standard for money. And again, will be linked to your digital ID, which is also, both things together, also very likely a precursor to some sort of social credit score. So you say the wrong things, you have the wrong opinions, you use the wrong products, eat the wrong foods, or use the wrong fuels, then you're limited in what you can buy, where you can go. If a universal basic income is introduced, which is very likely with the uprising of the emergence of AI, then it will determine how much money you get paid through the universal basic income scheme. The whole thing will be AI monitored, and literally all of your information will be tracked, grouped, and stored. Right, the government will have control and access to what you buy, where you go, what your political views are, how green you are, what vaccinations you have, what Google searches you do. And speaking of Google searches, Klaus Schwab, if you don't know who the fuck he is, Google him. He's the guy that started the World Economic Forum, and these once a year forums they hold in Davos with all the fucking billionaires and world leaders and stuff go there, and all fucking fly in their private jets and eat fucking top-notch steak and fucking lobster and talk about how we're all going to eat bugs and fucking we're all going to fucking drive electric cars and we're going to own nothing and we're going to have 15-minute cities and all this sort of thing that they're going to impose on us, the sheep, the herd, the cattle, the plebs. Well, they all live the fucking high life. Klaus Schwab, and this dude literally dresses like, this is Joe Rogan's words, not mine, but he's 100% correct. This dude literally dresses like a Star Wars villain, Klaus Schwab. Look him up. His plan for the internet is a controlled version of the internet where you'll need permission to access it, and it will obviously be carefully curated to ensure that nothing that's been labelled misinformation or disinformation can be spread, unless, of course, it's government-approved misinformation or disinformation. They will control the narrative, they'll control the information, they'll control the websites, they'll control who gets to use the internet, they'll get control who gets to post on the internet. It'll all be tied in together, and if you have a black mark against your name, according to what they decide is a yes or a no, that which is attached to your digital ID, you'll be restricted. You'll be blackballed. You'll be barred. Right? That's what this will lead to. There will be a campaign run to tell you all of the conveniences this will afford you, how beneficial it'll be for you, but it will be interesting to see if this is something they try to sell us or something that they're trying to force on us. Ergo, the vaccination. Is it going to be if you don't get a digital ID, you can't go out to the restaurant, you can't go out to the pub, you can't send your kids to school, you cannot work in your job? Is it going to be that, or is it just going to be something they try and slide in the back door? Hey, look at this new cool thing that's going to be super convenient. Or do they try that first, and then if it doesn't work, they come in with the heavy hammer? Not sure. We'll have to wait and see what happens with that. Don't think that our government... And also, do not think that our government would not be so nefarious. Let me rephrase that. Don't think that our government wouldn't be so nefarious or have such an authoritarian sort of plan in mind, right? If this seems like something that's a little bit far-fetched, sci-fi, Orwellian kind of bullshit to you, just cast your mind back a few short years to the lockdowns, the forced vaccinations, the government-run bullying and scare campaigns, forced division of the community, police brutality, and everything that else that went with the pandemic. This happened. That shit happened. If you don't know the depth of what happened, it's because they have you with those fucking blinders on, like they put on the fucking side of a horse's head just so you can look straight ahead. They've got the big carrot dangling in front of you. They're keeping you entertained with the fucking bullshit TV shows and the fucking in the controlled media narrative that you get fed. And just imagine what they will do once they control your ability to earn and spend money, mate. Like what they did through COVID was a test run. And I'm not the kind of guy who thinks COVID was cooked up. I mean, I think that the actual disease was cooked up in a lab, but I don't think the pandemic was cooked up. I'm not that much of a tinfoil hat guy. I do believe that when these things happen, there are entities, groups of people who are prepared, very well prepared to take advantage of those things. They have plans in place. They have these things planned out. They have discussed these things, and they know when something happens of this nature, this is what we do, X, Y, Z. And then they feed that information out through the, you know, bought and paid for government officials and large corporations that are involved, you know, with these groups of people. They feed this stuff down through the line to take absolute control of it, and they swoop in really quickly before us, the people, know what the fuck's going on. That is what happened during COVID massively. The one, I've said this many times, the one positive that came out of COVID, apart from what I said the other day on my video about sneezing into the crook of our elbow, which was a good positive, learnt that one, thank you very much. But apart from that, the one positive to come out of this was that people like me, like you, who didn't think about this or didn't give a fuck about this sort of thing before, now have our eyes open. You fooled us once, mate. Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Not gonna happen. Not to a lot of us. We're ready for it. Now we're seeing the signs in multiple other things. Now we're seeing the way that they're trying to outlaw, maybe too strong a word, but definitely demonize meat. They're trying to normalize processed foods, get us to drink and eat seed oils and everything we do, essentially keeping us sick. Because what happens when you keep the population sick? Then they need to rely on your medical system. They need to rely on the pharmaceutical drugs. Then we are in fear to take our lives into our own hand, because we need the system to keep us fit and healthy and alive. They don't want free thinkers. They don't want people out there eating good, whole, healthy foods and exercising. They want you to be weak and sick and need their help. That way, when they come in with the hammer, they have things to crack down on that they can take away from us. The more people that are free thinkers, that are taking their own health into their own hands, that are finding out information about all these things independently and not from the media-driven sources, the more people like that, the harder it is to push these narratives, to pull the wool over our eyes and to force us into things like digital IDs before we even realize what the fuck's going on. And then just like COVID, it's too late by the time we kind of start waking up. What the fuck happened? Too late. We fucking got ya. That's what happened last time. We cannot let it happen again. And if you think that I'm fucking crazy, you're just not looking hard enough. This is real. This shit is happening. And I know it's so much easier to just stick your head in the sand. I know it's much nicer to just think that, nah, they wouldn't fucking do that. Governments aren't like that. They're not that organized. They're not this. They're not that. Governments are just people, blah, blah. Yeah, they are just fucking people. And they're bought and paid for and manipulated by other people who have money, other people who have plans, other people who have investments and who are benefiting from certain industries like the big pharma, certain industries like these fast food corporations and junk food corporations, big billion-dollar conglomerates that all tied in together. And when you do a little bit of scratching under the surface, this isn't just hearsay. This isn't just me rattling this off the top of my head. There's people that have drawn the lines of that connect all the dots together. And it's fairly obvious once you start looking at it, when you know where to look. I don't know where to look. I'm not the guy. I'm just regurgitating. Yes, I am just regurgitating things I've heard from other people who I believe and trust and who have drawn these lines for us. And the more you learn about it, the more you hear about it, the more you see it, then the more obvious it starts to become. And the more you do take your own life and your own health and your own decisions into your own hand and believe and trust less in the government and the media, the more you realize, the more you can see it happening to other people. You know what I mean? So, man, it's up to us to stay informed. It's up to us to stay on top of this shit. It's up to us to have our eyes open, our ears open, and to look after our fucking selves. And it doesn't have to be, not everyone has to be an athlete. Everyone has to be training 6 days a week and everyone has to be doing this and doing that, getting out of bed at fucking 4 a.m. in the morning. Not everybody has to do that, but there's some simple fucking things. Move. Move every fucking week. Move 3 or 4 times a day. Like, just move. Go for a fucking walk. Go for an hour-long walk. Just do that. Cut out the most of the shit. Cut out most of the shit. Cut out 70-80% of the shit and just eat pretty much, you know, fruits, veggie, meat, drink water, like the real food, just real food. And don't just listen to what they sell you on the fucking mainstream media. Don't listen to that shit on the radio and you get on Channel 7, Channel 9, CNN, Fox, wherever the fuck you are in the world, ABC. Don't listen to that shit. Find independent journalists whose job is to actually find out what's going on in the world and present you the truth. Not all the distraction of this war, that war, you know, climate change, you know, there's a crisis in this country, crisis in that country, all that stuff. You know, it's real and it happens, and it's horrible, and there's people that are more equipped to deal with that sort of stuff and need to be looking into that and making those decisions. But it's not me and you. It's not us. Our lives are much smaller than that. Our problems are much smaller and more localized than that and more real than that, and they're happening to us right now. Well, we turn a fucking blind eye and look at the fucking the pretty things, you know, that they're flashing in front of, oh, here's a new gadget, here's a new toy, here's a new show, here's this, here's that, oh, look, oh, strife in fucking this country, strife in that, oh, another war to be scared and worried about. Meanwhile, they're taking the rug out from underneath our fucking feet. Stop, breathe, look what's going on in your own life. Figure out where you've been lied to, where we've all been lied to. Figure out what the next move is, because it's coming. It's coming. This is one of them, digital ID and then central digitalized currency. It's coming. It's more convenience for you, easier life for you, less freedom, less autonomy. And just like they said, just like what happened in COVID, if you sell your health and your safety and, you know, your own well-being, you sell the right to that off to the government to look after, the government will take freedom for you as a payment, from you as a payment. That's not what governments are for. That's not what they're for. And again, also one thing that we all seem to have forgotten, conveniently for them, they do not control us. They do not run us. They are not our bosses. They work for us. Let's make these cunts work for us again. Enough of a rant from me, mate. I'm going to go out with a song here. And look, I... Oh, shush, puppy. And I apologise I mean, not, I don't apologize, but look, if this isn't your flavor and there's too much of this sort of, you know, sort of ranting and, you know, this is going on and this is going on and open your eyes up to this thing and health this and health that, maybe I'm not for you anymore. I'm trying to have fun here and just talk about normal everyday shit as well, mate, and be open and honest. But this is stuff that really is important to me. It's important to me because I'm in the middle of handing over my portion of the world to my children, and I want to do everything I can in my power to make sure my kids get some sort of real human experience in their lifetime. Life's going to be very different for them. It's going to be very different as far as artificial intelligence goes and technology goes. It's going to be very different as far as, you know, the connectivity between people around the world. And, you know, it's already very different between how much they get outside and play and how much time they have in front of screens and not. You know, that's what I'm doing this trip around Australia, to get them fucking outside in the national parks, get them swimming, walking, exercising, breathing fresh air, living life as a fucking human, not a cyborg, because less and less that's going to happen for kids. And it's just very easy to be busy and worn down, and both parents fucking work now because that's just a normal thing. Women, you know, the feminist movement's got women all out in the fucking workforce working their asses off instead of being at home in their home as mothers, you know, connecting with their kids, and now that's not valued high enough. So they got women out there fucking working their asses off as well, which makes it very hard when you're both busy and everything's so fucking expensive, so you kind of both need to work anyway. Makes it very hard to look after your kids full time, to take interest in what their education is, to get them off the screens, to get them outside. It's just more convenient to go, just give them the fucking iPad, just let them watch fucking Netflix, just let them play the video games. And I do it too, man. I do it when I'm fucking run down, I'm run off my feet and fucking trying to get shit done and blah, blah, blah. I do it too, man. It's not me judging anyone else. It's me. I'm looking at my own life and then looking at everyone else's life and saying, hey, this is fucking what's happening to us. I'm trying to hand a little piece of the real world to my children so that they can at least experience that and not just be, like I said, you know, closer to cyborgs than they are to humans. So it's important to me. So if you don't like this kind of shit, I get it, man. I get it. You just want to, you know, you don't care. I get it. You don't believe me. I get that. If you do believe me, though, and you do kind of get it, but you just want to stick your head in the sand, you know, it's only a short-term gain, just switching off to it and ignoring it because it's inconvenient or you can't bother. It's a short-term gain, brother, sister. You're gonna, you know, we're gonna lose out on more and more freedoms if we don't notice what's going on now and sort of look up, you know, and open our eyes to it. So I'm sorry about the rants, but it's important to me. You know, I'm passionate about it. So, and I just want other people to understand what's going on as well. That's enough for me, mate. Going to go out with a song here. This is just a song just heard today. It's off the Guardians of the Galaxy soundtrack, which is pretty cool. There's three movies altogether. You can get the soundtrack for all three of them now. There's some great tracks on there, some classics. There's some songs I've never heard before. And there's some some cool tracks on there. This is one of them. I liked it. I'm going to go out with this one. It's called Down Here Waiting by Blue October. Average Man Podcast number 177, Hyperdrive. Over and out.
Your own thing, well, I don't need a damn thing. We just trying to